Hello and welcome to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. It's something that nobody is very keen to dwell on, but we do have to talk about the FA Cup replay on Tuesday night. Town were bettered and beaten by National League Lincoln City live on TV, and it's been viewed as a major embarrassment ever since. We'll move on eventually, but we are here to review that match, and joining me is our chief football writer, Stuart Watson. Stuart, what's the mood been in the press conferences at Ipswich Town since the 1-0 defeat at Lincoln?
Tense, I think, would probably be fair to say. Got to remember, the press, myself included, have been working pretty closely with Mick McCarthy for more than 4 years now. I like to think that there's certainly a bit of mutual respect there. Certainly think very highly of Mick as a man, regardless of what you think about his football. And I like to think that Mick knows that we're here to do a job as well, and that unfortunately some tougher questions need to be asked at this current time. So, those questions were asked on Thursday, and as always, Mick never shirks an answer, and he was very honest about it all. So, a few people reading into his comments about, you know, deciding what he wants to do this coming summer.
He seems to have changed his tone a little bit in terms of the way he's been reacting to questions, and come across a little bit more humble. He's admitted that this match particularly has been an embarrassment. Things haven't been so well recently. Do you think that's him sort of becoming a little bit resigned to what might happen in the future, or is he really sort of trying to change and get people back on side by a change in attitude?
I think he's acutely aware of where he stands in the popularity polls at this moment in time. I know he knows he's on thin ice with the fans. It's a difficult one for him, because I think I know his tone has been analysed and over the last few months, and I've been one that's done that in print. I think at times he's not helped himself by being a little bit too stubborn and aggressive and on the front foot with his tone and the way he answers questions. But to a certain extent, I can understand that, because it's such a brutal industry that he works in. And I think to have the longevity that he's had as a championship manager, more, you know, a league that chews up and spits out managers more than most, to have had the sort of the long stints in the game that he's had, you have to have that thick skin. You have to have that utter conviction in what you do, and I think Mick McCarthy will always have that, and his instinct is always to come out fighting and to back his own corner. At times that rubs fans up the wrong way, but I can understand why he has to take that approach. But in answer to your question, I think his tone has softened over the last few months, as he knows that he's probably not in the best position to be rubbing people up the wrong way. He could do nothing but take Tuesday night on the chin, because it was watched by close to 5 million people on TV. There was no way, you know, sometimes you get bad performances away from home and it's watched by a couple of, you know, a few hundred travelling away fans, and you might be able to dress it up as something a little bit better than it was to the general masses. But there was no getting away from how abject Tuesday night was. I think everything's been written and said about that performance. And there's no time to dwell on it. They've got to move on quick, because there's some pretty tough fixtures coming up.
Talking about McCarthy as well, he is now the longest serving manager in the Championship. Realistically, how long do we expect that run to go on for him? We know that the management above him at the club are very supportive of him. His job seems very safe at the moment, despite the fact of various fans of opposition teams singing "You're Getting Sacked" in the morning, as was heard on the TV. But is he likely to be there beyond the end of his current contract, do you think?
It's the million-dollar question. One that sort of I keep getting asked. What's the end game for Ipswich Town and Mick McCarthy? Is this backlash towards him unfair, would be the first question. He certainly had some key injuries, and plenty of them at key times. The limited transfer budget has been discussed in great detail, and the riches in the Championship have gone up even more this season. Has he become a victim of his own success before? You could answer yes to all of those questions. What I would say, in as a caveat to that, is perhaps he hasn't helped himself at times, both with the tone of his words, which we've already discussed, and also perhaps some of the team selections and tactics. Perhaps if he was a bit cuter, he would maybe swallow some of his own stubbornness at times and pick more adventurous teams and try and provide a bit more of the entertainment value that fans have been crying out for. I was asked on a Yorkshire radio station this week, well, what do Ipswich fans expect? You know, do they expect to be automatically challenging for promotion? I don't think they do. I think they're sensible and realistic enough to know that there's a unlevel playing field. There's no divine right to be going for promotion. But if you're turning up and spending a lot of your hard-earned time and money to watch football, you're not getting a lot for that at the moment, and you haven't been probably for the best part of 12 to 18 months. So I can understand why increasingly a lot more of the criticism is falling at Mick's door. What's the end game? Where do we go from here? Mick seems to suggest that he'll get to the summer, and it all depends on how these next 6 months goes as to how he feels. I think he's got the backing of Marcus Evans. He said as much publicly. The club, he puts a lot of stock in giving managers as much time as possible. So could it be an amicable parting of ways in the summer? Mick thinks the fans have had enough of me. He might be the one that goes to Evans and says perhaps it's time you find somebody else to take you forward. So it will all depend on the performances over the next few months, whether some of the younger players come in and there's a bit of hope for the future and everyone feels a bit better about things. But I think if it continues like it has done for another 6 months, I could see Mick and Marcus sitting down and mutually agreeing to part ways. That's my feeling on it at this given time.
Talking about young players and building for the future and hope for the years to come, Town have obviously been dealt more bad news this week in that Adam Webster, who's been one of Town's standout performers this season, has received quite a serious injury. What do you know about that, and how long is it likely to keep him out for?
Well, all we know at the moment is Mick basically said he's not going to play again this season. Rolled his ankle in training on Monday and needs surgery on ligament damage. Another massive body blow at a time where they really could do without it. He's been one of the rare positives in a stuttering season so far. It was only a few weeks ago we were talking about him maybe getting poached by a Premier League club in this January transfer window. So we've mentioned injuries. I mean, you could put together pretty much a decent team now from the players that are out injured. Ken Lock, just as he was starting to hit his stride, he's out. I think Tommy Smith's been a bigger miss than people perhaps anticipated, if you look at some of the sloppy goals that have been conceded. Perhaps Luke Himes' tenacious play in midfield, you know, certainly in a cup game on Tuesday night, we'd have liked to see him herring about and going into tackles. The list goes on. Pittman, McGoldrick have both been big blows at different times. Johnny Williams, of course, as well. So, yeah, they've not had a great deal of luck on that front, have they? So, listen, they're down to, you know, the squad's looking a bit threadbare now, and suddenly I think the door might be open for Paul Digby, who's seemingly out of the door not so long ago. He did okay on Tuesday night. They need some extra bodies before the window shuts.
Talking about Paul Digby and Albert Webster as well, actually, Mick, over the last couple of games, seems to have gone into playing three at the back and utilising Emmanuel and Hudson and Ken Locker's wing-backs. Now, obviously, wanting three centre-backs when they're dropping like flies at the moment. Do you see that having to enforce a change of tactics in the next few games? Because in the Blackburn game, it seemed that it worked reasonably well.
Personally, I really like the wing-back system. I've been saying for a long time, like many, that I think it suits the personnel that Ipswich have got. It's an answer to the Luke Chambers right-back question because, you know, they've been crowbarring three centre-backs into the team for a little while now, so it enables him to move inside, and I think he's a better player there. And I think they've had players that are capable of playing at wing-back for quite a long time, even going back to Cresswell and Edwards. I thought that they would make good wing-backs, and I think they've got the personnel again now. I thought it worked very well in the first half at QPR, and I couldn't understand why Mick seemed to ditch it at half time just because they were behind, because I thought the system was going well. He stuck with it on Tuesday night, and he's intimated in his press conference on Thursday that despite the injuries, he is going to stick with it and give it a decent run. Tuesday night, there was a few people suggesting that, okay, it might suit Luke Chambers playing it in that back three, but is Christophe Berra particularly comfortable in it? Because when you play on the left side of a back three, it might sound like it's a similar sort of role to playing in a back two, but a back three is very different. I think there's a big emphasis on one of those centre-backs being pretty comfortable on the ball and bringing the ball out of defence. Webster would have been that man. Of course, he's out now. But Digby's pretty comfortable on the ball from what we've seen and what we've been told. So that might suit him. But will it suit Christophe Berra having to be sort of dragged across to cover that little left-back area at the moment? Doesn't help that Jonas Knudsen's pretty much badly out of form at the moment. There's no hiding behind that. And he's been out of position at times. And that drags Christophe Berra into areas that he's not comfortable in. So that would be the only question mark against the wing-back system. But I do hope they persevere with it. They've brought Jordan Spence in as another body. Mick seems to see him as someone to compete for the right wing-back slot with Emmanuel. But he has played a bit of centre-back. And we spoke to him this week. And he says he could play on that right-sided centre-back role in the system. So, I hope they stick with it because I think it suits them and I hope they persevere.
On that point as well, obviously, going to three centre-backs, Luke Chambers moving inside, opened the door for Josh Emmanuel, who we've seen glimpses of throughout the season. The fans seem to like him. He seems to have done reasonably well when he's come in as well. Great opportunity for him to really get a run in the team. How do you think he's been performing in the last few matches? Because obviously the team's not been doing great over a relatively long spell. Do you think he's someone that can come in and really try and help make a difference in a formation that Town maybe haven't used as much, but as you say, might suit the players they've got?
Yeah, I think he's still learning, as is Kenlock, as is Dizel, a few of the younger players, undoubtedly. And I think Emmanuel's had far more good games than bad. There's undoubtedly been moments where perhaps his defensive positioning has been in question. A few goals where, perhaps he wasn't quite in the right place at the right time. But going forward, he's a big threat. He's strong, he's powerful, he's quick. Always an option on the overlap, and that right wing-back role will suit him, just as the left-sided role will suit Kenlock when he's back. Mick seems really committed now to developing young players. Marcus Evans has made it pretty clear in his five-point plan that the whole crux of the club moving forward now has got to be developing players from within the academy. I think Mick's been perhaps reticent to do that in the past. He's put a lot of emphasis on experience and old heads in the Championship. Whether his hand has been forced or not, he'll argue that he hasn't had the young players at his disposal to do that in the past. They've not been up to standard. And now, I don't know whether his hand's been forced and he's now got to do that, or whether he just purely thinks that the players he's got are just better now. But there's no doubt that out of the cup, nothing really to play for in the league. He's got to stick with these young players now and ride a few ups and downs. And I hope that Emmanuel gets given the chance to have a real long run of games.
We'll move on to Huddersfield now. They've already played, obviously, each other once this season. It was a 1-0 victory for Huddersfield, who were at the time sort of flying really well at the top of the Championship. They're still up there. They're fifth at the moment as things stand. How are they likely to set up? Are they going to be another tough ask for Town to try and get a win? As we know, Town haven't got back-to-back league victories this season. Can you see that possibly coming against Huddersfield?
Well, it doesn't get any easier, does it? It's Huddersfield on Saturday, and then you look at the fixtures coming up. Long trip to Preston the following weekend, and I think there's Derby, Leeds, Reading all on the horizon. Aston Villa, February finishes with the East Anglian Derby. So, tough old run of games. Huddersfield, I don't know if you remember, I think I tipped them as a bit of a dark horse back last summer, because purely based on when Ipswich played them at the back end of last season, I thought they had a real vibrancy about the way they were playing under David Wagner. Big overhaul of players in the summer. He seems to have sort of utilised, gone down two different routes with his recruitment. Young Premier League players from your Chelsea's and Man City's. And then the German market, which he obviously knows very well from his time there. And it's working for them. As you say, they got off to a flyer. Maybe the when they lost the surprise package tag, they had hit a bit of a sticky patch. But they've won five of their last seven. They're up there in fifth. And I think they've got a really good chance of finishing in the top six. Very good going forward. But I think maybe might be open to the counter-attack, and that might just suit the way Ipswich are playing at present, especially with the form that Tom Lawrence is in. So certainly if I was a betting man, I'd be looking at both teams to score. I think a draw would be a very good result for Ipswich at this given juncture, just to stabilise things and settle things down.
We'll have a quick talk on transfers as well. Now, since we last spoke, there had actually been some movement in the transfer market. Obviously, Town have brought in Kiefer Moore and Spencer, as you mentioned earlier. What do you make of those two players? Are they good buys for Town? Are they likely to be straight into the first team? Are they looking a bit more, particularly with Moore, I suppose, to the future? And are we likely to get anyone else in the near future?
I think the team tomorrow against Huddersfield will be the team that started against Blackburn, because that was a very good performance, which we mustn't forget, last weekend. In fact, the last three league performances have all been pretty good, actually. But the Lincoln games and the Boxing Day game against Fulham have obviously sort of put a real dampener on those. But in terms of the two new signings, you have to say fairly underwhelming, given Ipswich need a boost. They need something that's going to really improve the team at the moment. And in the current market, you have to spend some decent money to really get someone that improves you. They're talking about a 5 million price tag on Danny Ward at the moment. I mean, that's a player that's out of contract in the summer. So that tells you what the market is at the moment. That prices Ipswich out of a player like that. So they've had to go back to Mick McCarthy's tried and trusted market of trying to find a hidden gem or someone that's got, you know, who's been discarded with a point to prove. Kiefer Moore, you know, the hope is that he can be a Tyrone Mings, a hidden gem from non-league. And Jordan Spence is someone that started out in the Premier League with West Ham. He's had to drop down to League One to get his career going again. He's been without a club for a number of months now, and speaking to him on Thursday, there's no doubting that he's got that real hunger to get himself going, as has Kiefer Moore, who had a brief spell in the Championship with Yeovil, and he's desperate to take his opportunity with both hands again. So character-wise, they tick the boxes for Mick McCarthy. Quality-wise, are they really going to make a huge difference? Well, the jury's out. I hope they do, but it's easy to be cynical at the moment to say that perhaps they're just sort of extra bodies for a thin on the ground squad. But we'll see. I don't think they'll be going straight into the lineup. But let's hope they can.
And Moore, I think, is probably being looked at as maybe almost a direct replacement for Daryl Murphy, obviously, minus some of the experience and skill that he was able to show. As you say, Moore's a bit of an unknown quantity at the moment. Is that sort of approach likely to be able to bring the team up a bit, even if you're just sort of going in to pick someone who's similar to a player you've already had, even if they're not quite the same standard? Is that likely to have the desired effect, just bringing in essentially a big man to act as a foil for one of Town's current strikers?
Yeah, I think if you're going to call him a replacement for anyone, I guess he's probably more of a Luke Varney replacement in terms of being that physical option. He's not going to be the main man. He's not going to have the Murphy impact. Let's be honest. This is a player that's was loaned out by Forest Green earlier in the season because he couldn't get in their team. That's not to say that he's not good enough for this level. But he's not Murphy's replacement, and Ipswich are desperately trying to spend a bit more money to get a Murphy replacement. Not happening at the moment. So it would be unfair to put a lot of pressure on and Kiefer Moore's shoulders in that respect. But they did need more of a physical option. No disrespect to Pittman and McGoldrick and Sears and all the others, but they're different types of players to what Murphy was. And I think losing that option means Ipswich have kind of lost their whole identity. That, you know, everyone knew what Ipswich Town was about when they finished sixth. Opposition managers week after week were saying, you know, tough place to go, you know what you're up against when you face a Mick McCarthy side. And I think one of the biggest problems of the last 12 months is maybe they've lost a little bit of that identity. Even before Murphy went, he'd lost a bit of that form that he'd had in the playoff season. I think it was a good deal for him to go. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. You know, probably sitting here now, that they might wish that they had kept hold of him. But great money for a player who was 33. They had to move on at some point, and hopefully they will find a proper replacement in time to come. But yeah, hopefully Moore will give him that option, whether it's from the start or off the bench, so that if they want to play that way at a time in games, they have got a player that they can do that with.
And just quickly, are there any whisperings about anyone else coming in the near future? As I say, we're a week closer to the end of the transfer window now. It's probably going to start getting towards being squeaky bum time a bit for managers looking to bring in a player before the window shuts.
Yeah, I mean, we asked Mick for what's the feedback been on the bids that he's got in. He'd obviously revealed a little while ago that they'd had 3 or 4 £1 million plus bids in for players. From sort of our understanding, I think Marley Watkins at Barnsley, Jordan Hugill at Preston were certainly two of those players. But Mick said the feedback has been no, no, and by the way, no. It was, you know, along those lines. So the market's massively inflated. The example that keeps getting used is Scott Hogan potentially going from Brentford to West Ham for £15 million. So that sort of filters down, and you know, as I said earlier, Danny Ward now becomes a £5 million player, so Ipswich just aren't in that market. So I struggle to see how they're going to get a £1 million plus player in before January. I think Mick will keep his powder dry. If he decides a player's not worth that much, he won't sign them, and he'll get on with what he's got. The one sort of transfer bit that's come up this morning is Stephen Taylor, who's the former Newcastle defender. He might be someone that's just brought in as a bit of a stopgap for, you know, an experienced head, a bit of a leader, and a bit of a stopgap while Webster's out. So that would make sense from that point of view. But getting that sort of main man striker that everyone wants at this juncture, it's difficult to see it happening.
There we go. And that's all we've got time for this week on Sleeping Giants. We'll be back again next week after what we hope will be Town's first back-to-back league wins of this season. Who knows? There may even be some more transfer news of players coming into Portman Road. Thanks to Stuart, and thanks for listening.